Good afternoon. It's 12:07. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters Art-Centric on WBOY Fort Wayne. Thanks very much for being with us. Hope you're having a great Friday so far. With me in studio, of course, it's Julia Meek, the true star of this program. Julia, it's been a while since I've been with you, but I'm very happy to be here.
What a pleasure, Sean, and especially because this is the very last Friday of the month, and the drama builds, actually, this edition, beginning with a behind-the-scenes tour of Habitat for Humanity's very art-centric Interfaith Build Benefit Concert, led by local musician Mark Maxwell and Habitat's Director of Development, Laurie Brumbaugh. And then in our second segment, it's drama to the very highest power as First Press Theater's Tom Hoffrichter unfolds the drama of the month, and we discuss the Fort Wayne Civic Theater's Northeast Indiana Playwrights Festival with a veteran Hollywood screenwriter and festival guest, Michael Truxman. But before that, Sean and I each have a quick pick art tip for you as you head into this very arts-rich weekend, perhaps in need of a suggestion. So what's your pick, Sean?
My pick is Most Precious Blood's Fun Fest. That's happening tomorrow, June 1st, from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. It's at Spring and Barthold Streets. And the earlier part of the day, from about 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., family-friendly fun, but later on, the brew will flow and the funky goodness shall emerge. We'll have some great music by the Freak Brothers Band from 8 to 11 p.m. And that's a rain or shine event. Should be a whole lot of fun this weekend.
You know it should, and that is a wonderful worthy cause, and the Freak Brothers Band is fantastic. And if the beer and fun are flowing, then who could ask for more? In the meantime, I am suggesting a celebration of life and a benefit for the family of Nofi, and that's Jeff Melton, very, very special musician here in the area who passed away recently, and that's tonight, Friday, May 31st, from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m., so it's a nice long event, at the Calhoun Street Soup, Salad, and Spirits, a.k.a. CS3, and that's at 1915 South Calhoun. It features performances by artists and DJs who knew Jeff through his art and music and his very electronic, wonderful music self, and a silent auction from 6 to 9, and all of the proceeds do go to Jeff's wife and son, which is another very worthy cause, and the music will be running from 6 until 3 a.m. All ages friendly until 10 p.m. So again, you can hardly go wrong. Wonderful celebration of life and benefit for the family of Nofi. That's Jeff Melton tonight from 6 to 3 a.m. at 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. at Calhoun Street, Soup, Salads, and Spirits, 1915 South Calhoun.
And let me remind our listeners before we get too deep into the action today that we want to hear your questions and comments. We want to hear from you. So call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Lots of ways to get in touch with us today, and we certainly hope you will.
We do hope you will, because the drama and the art centricity builds as we welcome Habitat for Humanity's Director of Development, Laurie Brumbaugh, and local sax man, Mark Maxwell, to the show. Hi, Laurie. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
It sounds like the Habitat is a hoppin' this time of year. Of course, that would figure building hope and building houses, and this coming week, a musical connection as well.
Absolutely. We're very, very excited about this benefit concert that Mark Maxwell has so graciously committed to.
And he certainly looks excited over
that. He thinks somebody said he should be committed, but that is not this show. For the benefit of all of us, Laurie, why don't you explain, because this is your first Interfaith Build, and just what is an Interfaith Build?
That's correct. This is the first time that we've gathered together communities of different faiths throughout the Fort Wayne area, and we're just very excited to be able to come together as one and put our faith into action, no matter what that faith might be.
And another little bit of background, Habitat for Humanity, this is the procedure for building homes and building hope with community doing the building.
Correct. That's correct. All of our homes are built by volunteer labor, And so the groups that are coming together are not only raising the funds to build the house, but they'll also be volunteering and building the house. So it's very exciting to be able to work alongside one another, no matter what our differences and faiths might be, to come together and be the hands and feet and grow that. So.
And Habitat for Humanity, being the labor all connecting by volunteer, what then is the cost involved in building a home?
For a full house sponsorship, it's $60,000, and that is going directly to cost of materials to build a home for a family in need. And it's quite fun to pull it all together and see people that maybe have never built a house before, swung a hammer, and haven't had that experience, that they can do that and see the fruits of their labor, if you will, at the end of the day.
Oh my goodness, it has to be so very satisfying all the way around, and certainly home building is its own art. And another question might be, how does one get knowledgeable and proficient enough at some home building skill to be able to help on such a project?
You actually don't have to have any skill to come out to a build. We do have great crew leads that will show you what you need to do, and it's amazing. It gives me chills every time we build a house, and I've been around Habitat for a very long time, to see people that have never had that experience before, framing walls, and at the end of the day, you know, we'll start a build on a Saturday, let's say, with just a slab, and by the end of the day, you've got all the walls up, and with people that really may not have had that experience before.
I want to talk a little bit about this concert and move to you, Mark. Tell us a little bit, I mean, about why you wanted to participate in this. Of all the places you could be this weekend, why this event?
Well, I have attended and do sometimes attend the Unitarian Universalist Church, which is a very cool place to go, by the way. And Colleen Carpenter, who is involved in this project and who is an energetic dynamo in my experience.
Yes, she is.
Was speaking about it one morning at service, and I thought, wow, that's something that we could get involved in and have a little bit of fun with and do a good work. So I volunteered myself, and they took me up on it.
It seems to me, Lori, that in Habitat's fundraisers in this area across the country, though, really there is a real connection between that organization and the arts community, whether it's through fundraisers or people involved in the arts also getting involved in Habitat projects as well. Can you talk a little bit, is this kind of a first of its kind event for Habitat, or is there a long history of this?
It's the first of its kind for our affiliate here in Fort Wayne. We've not had this kind of an opportunity before, so we were really excited when Mark had offered. It was something, it was like, wow, thank you so much. And we're really excited at the facility that it's going to be hosted at, and all the different faiths that are coming together to participate. So it should be a really good time. I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
And we are sharing Habitat for Humanity's very ambitious and art-centric building plans, this segment of WBOI's Midday Matters, art-centric. That includes community building with this wonderful fundraiser, including Mark Maxwell Sachs' experience, to be sure. And we'd love to hear your questions and comments, so give us a call at 800-471-9264 or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or get in touch on our Midday Matters Facebook page. In the meantime, I am sitting here doing the math, and in such a building project to construct one house, as you mentioned, Lori, the labor's free. The building cost of materials, etc., is $60,000. And how close are we on the project for the home that you're having the benefit to interfaithfully build?
That's the very exciting part of it, is we're at the end and we have just $10,000 left to raise. So we're really excited because all the groups have been working on this project for a very long time, and we know that we're going to be able to build this house this year, and thanks to Mark and the fundraising event, and we really think that we'll be able to reach that goal with the benefit concert next Thursday. So
We're going to take just a quick break, and we hope you'll get in touch with us in the meantime. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes.
Jury selection in the federal racketeering trial of the legendary Boston criminal Whitey Bulger begins next week. Bulger was wanted for 19 murders when he was captured in 2011 after 16 years on the lam. Bulger was also an informant and got protection from the FBI. On the next Fresh Air, two journalists who've covered his story join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
The Sci-Fry Book Club takes a walk in the woods, a really long walk. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for the Bill Bryson Classic about hiking the Appalachian Trail. We'll also compile our summer science reading and resurrecting a plant frozen for 400 years in a glacier. That's all on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
This whole building is based on technology and integration.
In an increasingly digital world, cities are striving for more efficiency.
We get to know what's happening faster, and we can put our teams on the street to respond faster.
A series on urban innovation from the NPR Cities Project begins today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Take the guesswork out of your retirement plan. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
Minutes past the hour, it's Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter. This, of course, the art-centric edition of our program. I'm happy to be in this seat. I don't get to be with you on this show that often, Julia, but very happy to. And we have a couple of fantastic topics today.
We do. And as we like to say, the drama is building, especially this segment, because we are happy to have Mark Maxwell, a local musician and Habitat for Humanity's Director of Development, Lori Brumbaugh, with us in the studio. We are discussing truly the behind-the-scenes info about Habitat for Humanity's interfaith build and the benefit concert that goes with it. And at this point, I would like to know about the construction of the event, the concert itself.
Okay. Well, it's June the 6th, and we have two different segments. We have a VIP specific time that Mark is going to do a little more. Well, I'll let Mark talk more about that, the VIP session. And then there's a general admission time that's at about 7 o'clock that the doors will be open, and that will include some desserts. But the VIP part of it will also include some drink tickets and food from the various cultures that are represented from the communities of faith that are participating in the build. So it'll be a lot of fun to experience the different cultures as well as Mark's music. So we're really excited about that.
And Mark, what can you tell us about the VIP and the VVIP performances that you are going to be sharing?
Well, we're going to kind of get personal with the VIPs, tell some stories, maybe do a little bit of historical perspective about jazz and the saxophone, and maybe talk a little bit about how we come up with the things that we play, a little bit about what improvisation is all about, how it works in the context of the band and the dynamics of the individuals in the band and whatnot. So it'll be a very interesting hour, and it will certainly be fun for us.
In fact, you will be then sharing. You're sharing your music. You always guarantee a sax experience when folks come out to listen to you, and I know that you're very popular here in the area. So at this point, you'll be talking about the sax, and as well as letting folks experience the music.
Correct. The sax and the iwi. I also play a instrument called the iwi, which is an electronic synthesizer, but it's fingered and played like a saxophone. I mention that because I find that people are very fascinated with the iwi when they see me play it.
No doubt.
Yeah, people scratch their head and say, "What is that, Mark?"
I was just getting ready to say that. What is that, Mark?
Yeah, it looks like the thing that the musicians in the bar at Star Wars, remember that scene, playing some futuristic device? But it's a synthesizer, but it's a really cool instrument, so I'll be talking about that as well.
Thank you for that comparison. That's delightful. And, Mark, how does it make you feel to know that you are working on helping whittle away the last $10,000 of a $60,000 price tag for materials to build a house for Habitat?
Well, it's quite thrilling, actually, to be involved. And thank you so much for allowing me to be involved, by the way. And, you know, there's some humility about it as well. It's always good to give back to the community, and it's a great opportunity for us to do that, and I'm really happy about it.
I want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to join the conversation today, we'd love it if you called us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, that's facebook.com/middaymatters, or you can send us a tweet as well, @middaymatters.
We hope you do, and in the meantime, Lori, I have a question. This will be the last or most recent house in how many houses are built by Habitat for Humanity here in Fort Wayne, Allen County?
To date, we have built 166 homes here in the Allen County community, and we've been an affiliate of Habitat International for going on 27 years now. So it's pretty exciting to be able to bring this build to our area, and we hope that it will continue in the future as well. The interest will grow.
Number 167, and certainly we hope that it does. How does our own local Habitat for Humanity chapter or group compare to the national average of homes built or community involvement?
Well, we were actually at the national conference in March, and they put the numbers up there of where different affiliates and around the state fall. And for the state of Indiana, Indiana is actually number 7 within the nation.
Wow.
Which was really rewarding to see that come up
Indeed.
On the screen as we were watching the countdown, and I kept thinking, well, where's Indiana? And there we were, number 7. And I thought, how cool is that? We're in the top 10. So there's a lot of good community, not only within our own area, but within the state as a whole.
And it makes us feel good that the heart really is in the right place in the heartland for this absolutely wonderful organization. How long have you been with the organization?
Well, I've been on staff for 7 years now, but I actually started as a volunteer in 1999. So I served on the Family Selection Committee, where we actually interview the families in their home to assess their need as they're going through the approval process. So I've been around for a little while, have a little history with Habitat, and I'm very blessed to just be a part of such a wonderful organization.
Did you ever think that you would come this far, this long, and this amazingly in a blaze of glory such as you are?
No, not really. It's one of those things that as you start as a volunteer, you always get back more than you give, and it just continues to grow. And like I said earlier, when you see the walls of the house go up, I still get chills, get weepy at every house dedication when the family gets the keys, because you know that the family has worked so hard. We require here in Fort Wayne 300 hours of volunteer labor from each family before they get their home. So you know, and you've seen how hard the family's worked and grown through that process.
And it is such a satisfying labor of love on everybody's part, and the interaction and involvement is important too. Now, at the benefit concert coming up, will the family be there?
We are not actually sure what family will go to the interfaith build. It's all designated by the time that the family completes their requirements. Then they select their lot and their floor plan for their home. So there will be a family there that will be speaking about their experience. It's already a Habitat homeowner, but we don't know exactly which house, which family this house will specifically be benefiting.
I am proud to live in the Belmont neighborhood, which I know is one of the high level numbers of Habitat homes. We're happy to say that too, and I see the difference it makes with our neighbors and the feeling of presence and responsibility and hope that it gives people. Can you speak a little bit about that? What your average family before, during, and after this process takes away from it?
Sure. The families are required not only the 300 hours of sweat equity, but they have 19 weeks of home ownership training. And they do pay a $500 down payment, and they pay a monthly mortgage payment, which is 0% interest. And a lot of people don't really realize that. There's kind of a stigma that goes along with Habitat that we give houses away. And if you ask any family, did we give them anything, what they've received the most is pride of home ownership, because they did the work and they drove the nails into their own home. And that's what makes the program so successful.
Could you talk a little bit? We only have a few minutes before we have to say so long. But can you talk a little bit about the need in this community? I know a lot of folks have been through some very difficult times the last 4, 5, 6 years. Has the need for Habitat homes grown? Have more families come to Fort Wayne Habitat and said, can I get involved, either really on the volunteer side or on the need-based side?
Absolutely. We do 2 informational meetings a month in our office, and anybody can sign up that's interested in the program just by calling our office or going to our website. We do have pre-application on our website. And what we're seeing is at those monthly informational meetings that the room is pretty full. And we have been consistently building on average about 12 houses a year, but we really need to grow to that 20 house a year production so that we can better serve the need within our own community.
We only have a few moments for this portion of our program, but we do want to remind our listeners, we'll take your calls for the next few moments and, of course, into the next half of the show. If you call us at 800-471-9264, email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Julia.
And we will ask Mark one more time to outline the music that folks will be able to enjoy at this benefit.
All right, good. We're going to be doing the VIP concert from 5:30 to 6:30. And after that, throw open the doors to the general public. And starting at 7 o'clock, we'll be doing 2 full concert sets. I'd just like to say the musicians joining me that evening will be Clifford Webb on guitar, Michael Patterson on bass, and Steve Smeltzer on drums, all pillars of the music community here in Fort Wayne. So it's going to be an exciting evening, and I hope many, many people come out.
That's a fine construction team right there, and we will ask Lori to explain when and where they can hear all of this.
It's June the 6th at Come to Go Music Hall, and tickets are still available. You can either call the Habitat office or go to the Come to Go website and purchase tickets online, or you can come that night and get tickets at the door.
I do have to actually brag that I get to be the MC for this this fantastic event, so I will hear the whole Mark Maxwell sax experience. And before we leave this segment, and Sean, I know that we need to, I really would like to put a shout out to Betsy Savages, who was early on and so such a hard worker and influential in all things Habitat for Humanity. And I think that your present success rests on everybody's hard work and construction. Certainly she's amongst the foundation there. And thank you so much to Lori Brumbaugh of Habitat for Humanities and Mark Maxwell, indeed a sax experience all in itself, for being part of our show today.
Thanks very much to both of you. It was a great half hour. When we return, we'll be talking, of course, with First Pres Theater's Tom Hofrichter and Hollywood screenwriter Michael B. Druxman. And we hope you'll get in touch with us. Of course, you can always call us at 800-471-9264, email us, post on our Facebook page, or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
This whole building is based on technology and integration.
In an increasingly digital world, cities are striving for more efficiency.
We get to know what's happening faster, and we can put our teams on the street to respond faster.
A series on urban innovation from the NPR Cities Project begins today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Jury selection in the federal racketeering trial of the legendary Boston criminal Whitey Bulger begins next week. Bulger was wanted for 19 murders when he was captured in 2011 after 16 years on the lam. Bulger was also an informant and got protection from the FBI. On the next Fresh Air, two journalists who've covered his story join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Martinez with WBOI News. American Legion officials say they've seen dramatic improvements at the Fort Wayne VA Medical Center, where inpatient care was suspended last year. Members of an American Legion task force visited the clinic last week and held a public forum to hear from veterans about their concerns. Task force chairman Ralph Bozella told the Journal-Gazette that the center is undergoing a culture change with its new director, and its 600-member staff now has a positive energy. The center suspended inpatient services in October. Some of those services have been restarted or will resume next month. Bozella says problems remain, such as the center spending several million dollars a year on sending veterans to non-VA hospitals and a troublesome phone system. Governor Mike Pence says the creation of a new biosciences research institute that was announced Thursday will create jobs, attract investment, and talent from around the globe and help retain the state's top graduates. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on what's being called the first industry-led life sciences research institute in the country.
The Indiana Biosciences Research Institute is a collaborative effort between private companies such as Eli Lilly, Cook Group, and Dow AgriSciences, and the state's research universities, IU, Purdue, and Notre Dame. By pooling resources and attracting new researchers to Indiana, the aim of the institute is to make the transition from the lab to the marketplace easier. BioCrossroads President David Johnson, who sits on the board of directors for the new institute, says part of its mission is to capture the dollars being spent outside the state by Indiana life sciences companies. He says even retaining 5% of that business will be a huge boon to the state.
That's $250 to $300 million a year coming into Indiana's economy, and that's real money, and that is business, and that is, in fact, exactly what the governor's talking about, putting Hoosiers to work.
Governor Mike Pence says the value of the institute goes beyond the economic benefit for Indiana.
Health issues that, as we all know, and we say with heavy hearts, impacts too many Hoosiers. Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. We're going to come up with the breakthroughs here that are going to benefit Hoosiers and deal with some of the maladies that our own citizens deal with.
The General Assembly appropriated $25 million to get the institute up and running initially. It will ultimately cost $360 million to fully create, and Johnson says the bulk of that funding will come from private investment and donations. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Indiana's growing school voucher program is resulting in a modest gain for the state's public schools. The Indiana Department of Education announced Wednesday that $5 million more would go to the state's schools because of savings achieved through school vouchers. The state spends less money on students receiving vouchers than for public school students. The difference is returned to public schools. Voucher supporters have said that savings proves vouchers are good for Indiana's public schools as well as private schools, but opponents have said the state is still spending less on public schools than before the recession. State lawmakers approved a biennial budget last month that spends an additional $300 million on schools over the next 2 years, but also spends more for an expansion of the voucher program. Now back to art-centric Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI.
12:36. It's Midday Matters on WBOY at Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you on this Friday, the final day of May. With me, of course, Julia Meek. Julia, a fine show so far. What's on the docket next?
Well, in this segment of Midday Matters at Centric, we're actually reversing the role, so to speak, and building the drama. And drama to the highest power this month as we welcome First Press Theater's Tom Hoffrichter. He's here with the lowdown on this month's theatrical productions, as always, and a very special guest to give us a previewing of the Fort Wayne Civic Northeast Indiana Playwrights Festival. So, Tom, welcome, and how is the view on the dramaturgical horizon this month?
We are looking to get into summer with a couple of really interesting shows. Arena Dinner Theater has the light comedy, Romantic Comedy, which is opening June 14th and runs through the month of June. Rob Scrim will be directing and also, I believe, playing the male lead. And a number of interesting people in town are in the show. But that will be there. But first off, starting tonight at the Fort Wayne Civic Theater down at the United Arts Center, will be the fourth annual playwriting festival. And what happens every year with that is they have scripts get sent in. I think the deadline is around September 15th. I'm on the reading committee. There were close to 30 of them this year, I believe. And first place, second place, and third place winners are chosen. And they always bring in a professional playwright from out of town. And this year, we are opening with Lombard tonight by Michael Druxman. It's a one-woman show about Carol Lombard. And the winners tomorrow will get readings and The Wedding Gift, which is the first place prize by Nancy Carlson Dodd, will open Saturday night. So you can see Lombard fully staged or The Wedding Gift fully staged and hear readings over the weekend. I'll give more in terms of when those are happening. But right now I'd like to welcome Michael Druxman, who's here from Austin, a very accomplished writer and directed some shows and directed some movies in California, has written screenplays. Thank you for coming to Fort Wayne, Michael.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying being here.
Now, you've been in Austin for the last few years. Could you chart your career briefly for the folks so they understand what we're dealing with here in terms of a real professional Hollywood playwright?
Well, I'm really from Seattle originally, and I always wanted to, ever since when I was 4 years old, I saw Pinocchio and heard Hi Diddly D, an actor's life for me. I wanted to be in show business, and my family is totally non-show business. My father was a jeweler, my uncle owned a restaurant, owned restaurants, but so they always tried to dissuade me. They were never able to do that. And I went to the University of Washington and, started out in the drama department, did plays there. And as soon as I graduated from college, I got in the car and drove down to Los Angeles, and I lived there for 45 years. I had no contacts whatsoever. And I got a normal job and started looking over the territory, and eventually I came up with this idea. I directed some plays in community theaters down there, and I eventually came up with this idea for a low-price publicity service. Walmart was not around at that time, but it was like a Walmart of PR services.
For actors, people in the industry.
And because they were paying, now this is mid-60s, people were paying $500, $1,500 a month, which was, this was 1960s dollars. Mm-hmm. Today, you're talking twice that much.
Right.
And I said, your average actor can't afford that. So I started charging very low fees, ran ads in the paper, in the Variety and Reporter. The Publishers Guild wasn't too happy with that. And But, you know, from the first day I started bringing in clients, I mean...
And then you were able to transition because you had quite a career as a screenwriter and you also directed some movies. I know you worked with F. Murray Abraham in you directed him.
No, I didn't direct him. I wrote a film that became Dillinger and Capone, and Murray played Capone and mm-hmm. Martin Sheen played... Dillinger.
And what year was that film out?
I think that came out in 95.
Okay.
Right. But no, I the one feature I directed was in, I think it came out in 2000. It was with Roy Scheider. It was called The Doorway. And we shot that in Ireland.
Ah. You know,
I did a lot of films for Roger Corman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, for folks who may not be familiar with Corman's work, I mean, tell us a little bit about him and what it was like to work in that style.
Well, Roger Corman's as a director is probably best known for the films he made back in the '60s, the Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe movies like Fall of the House of Usher, mm-hmm. Pit in the Pendulum, and then you know he did The Trip with Peter Fonda, but. He's best known. He got a special Oscar 2 or 3 years ago because he's given more people their start in this business. And, you know, Scorsese, Coppola, Ron Howard, I mean, Jack Nicholson, all began with Corman. Now, unfortunately, I came to him when I was in my early 50s. So, you know, my screenwriting career started rather late. But, you know, I worked for him... you know, I sold him a couple of scripts, and, you know, I'd already had one feature made for my script. But once I started working for him, he started throwing me assignments. And that's how, in Hollywood, you don't make, as a writer, it's not selling scripts, it's getting assignments. Because most producers have, like to come up with their ideas. I want to make a movie about X.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they find a writer. And I was, you know, for 10 years, I was... Corman's best paid writer, shall we say.
So it really is kind of, it's kind of finding a team to join. And once you get on the team, then then the work starts flowing to you. One of the things folks out there that are interested in how a career starts and how to pursue one of these careers, Michael's going to be doing a workshop on, I believe it's Sunday at noon, correct?
Sunday, is it at noon? They're just going to bring me there. I know it's Sunday.
Yeah, we're taking Michael all around Fort Wayne, various places, showing him off. And but yeah, it's noon to 1 p.m. at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. It's one of the many things that's happening over this exciting weekend that showcases new playwrights and new plays here in Fort Wayne. So you ended up making a good career in Los Angeles for quite a few years, and it led you to writing. And and if you actually would like to follow and find out more about Michael's career, his memoir will be on sale at the
yes, it's called My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive, and I'll be signing copies at the workshop. And if you can't make it to that, you can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating story. I was talking with Michael before we walked in here. It's what a life. But somehow you got hooked into telling one person's story at a time. And he also has a book out called The Hollywood Legends, where there are 9 plays, all one-person plays.
And one two-person play.
And one two-person play that basically... opens up the lives of a number of Hollywood legends like Clark Gable, Carol Lombard, obviously, who we're going to see tonight on stage.
Al Jolson, Basil Rathbone. The two-person play is Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald.
Ah. Hmm. Which rumor is they were actually only one person. No, maybe not. how did you come to that form? Because writing a play for one person, it's kind of a unique niche that not everybody can do. How did you come to it?
Well, I had yet to sell a screenplay. It took me 10 years of trying to sell a screenplay, but that's another story. I was looking around for something to write. You know, I'd written a lot of movie books back in the 70s, probably the best known is called Basil Rathbone, His Life and His Films, which is still available. And you know, I became interested. You know, we had Henry Fonda had done Clarence Darrow, Hal Holbrook had done Mark mm-hmm. Twain, Julie Harris had done Emily Dickinson, Jimmy Whitmore had done Truman and Will Rogers.
Will Rogers, yeah.
And but nobody had really done a. You know, so we had great writers, some great politicians, and great poets. Nobody had done a great movie star, and so I said, God, you know, that looks like a fun thing to try. And so I narrowed the choice down to Gable and John Barrymore. And I finally chose Gable because I thought he'd be more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun stuff about doing these is that you get to go, you interview the people that knew them. And so I wrote it, and this local theater decided, there was an actor out there who looked very much like Gable. And they staged it, and it was a big hit, and it went to a bigger theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did Tracy, same thing, a big hit, went to a bigger theater in downtown L.A. And about the same, then I was doing, you know, Lombard seemed to be a natural after that.
Oh, why did, because of her relationship with?
With Gable. And, mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing about Lombard is that I don't think I'd ever seen her in a movie until I was in my 30s, because, first of all, she was killed. I was less than a year old when she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have home video back then unless they showed something on TV. And back in the 60s, in the late 60s, you know, if there was no home video. So if you wanted to watch movies, see these old movies, you had to have 16-millimeter prints, which were illegal. Of course, around Hollywood, everybody had 16 million. They didn't talk about it. And I the other thing that sort of piqued my interest is one of my publicity clients was Edgar Dimitrik, who was a very famous director, director of Caine Mutiny, Crossfire, Murder My Sweet, Braintree County. And he and his wife, Jean Porter, who was an actress, lived in a house on St. Cloud Road in Bel Air that had formerly been owned by Carol Lombard. And so I visited that house many times. And in fact, Jean, Eddie's wife, sort of, I kind of think that the house is haunted by Carol because it's such a happy place. This is the house that, when she was going with Gable, they got into a fight. She locked him in the backyard and turned on the sprinkler system. But so I had that interest, but it was a long time coming to do the play, because while Gable was on, one of my former clients, Jack Carter, the comedian, came out and saw it. And after he saw the play, he said, I want you to write a play for me about Al Jolson. And so that sidetracked, Jolson then probably is the most successful of the one-person plays. It's been done all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And but finally we got to Lombard. The first stage reading was done by Carol Lindley in Hollywood, and then we finally got it on the boards in a full production. It opened January 16th, 1992. Which was the anniversary of her death. So.
Wow. We do need to take a quick break here, and we'll continue this conversation with Tom Hofrichter and Michael Druxman. We hope you'll get in touch with us. You can call us at 800-471-9264, email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
The latest edition of the book your doctor uses to diagnose and treat mental illness has met with bad reviews. Many psychiatrists are saying the book's approach is out of date. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at what's next in diagnosing and treating mental illness. That's on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
This whole building is based on technology and integration.
In an increasingly digital world, cities are striving for more efficiency.
We get to know what's happening faster, and we can put our teams on the street to respond faster.
A series on urban innovation from the NPR Cities Project begins today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Previously on Car Talk.
My husband Charles walks in and says, I fixed the Volvo again. Let's go for a ride.
Again. All right, let's go get a hot fudge sundae.
So I walk outside, and my jaw hits the ground. He cut the top off of the car. I've got a chopped top Volvo.
Don't miss the fun this week.
Join us for Car Talk.
Saturday and Sunday at 10 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Nine minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, art-centric on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. With me, of course, Julia Meek. And Julia, we've been talking in this part of our program with Tom Hoffrichter and screenwriter Michael Druxman. And of course, we want to remind our listeners, if you want to get involved in the conversation, just a few minutes to do so, 800-471-9264. Email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet.
And we are getting a little bit of behind-the-scenes info on the Northeast Indiana Playwrights Festival, which is happening right here in Fort Wayne, thanks to the Fort Wayne Civic Theater's fourth annual event. And actually, the burning question during the last break, Michael, obviously you have a love of all things film history, but why Lombard?
Well, you know, Lombard was an actual extension from Gable. But as I said, I had never seen her in a movie until probably I was in my early 30s. And I saw her and I fell madly in love with her. I mean, I thought she was the most beautiful. You know, I'm saying, why did you have to die before I was one year old. I started watching all of her movies. I think my favorite is her last one, To Be or Not to Be. It's really Jack Benny's movie, but I just love that film. And Nothing Sacred. Actually, four of her movies, when we were watching 60 Miller, four of her major films were in the public domain, including My Man Godfrey and Nothing Sacred. So
your process started out kind of devouring all of her artistic work,
right,
and watching all of that, and then I imagine you moved toward reading everything you possibly could
The only biography of her that was available was, I think it was called Screwball.
Okay.
But I interviewed interviewed Robert Stack, and I interviewed for both her play and Gable, John Lee Mayen, who was a top screenwriter at MGM, was in the Army with Gable, knew him, all through the 30s and 40s, so he knew Carol. And but watching the movies, what you have to do when you do one of these one-person plays is you've got to get the actor's voice into your head. So that when you, and the only way you can really do that is watch their movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when you sit down and you write a line, you're hearing that actor saying the line.
That's interesting to hear because, I think a lot of folks would think that, you know, that would be maybe more important, I guess, for the actor portraying that person. But you're hearing Carol Lombard in your head as you write.
Well, you know, when I've directed my plays, the first thing I say to the actor I said, go watch as many movies of whoever the person is you can, because, mm-hmm, you know, everybody has a different vocal inflections. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most interesting ones was Spencer Tracy, the actor played Spencer Tracy for me was probably the best actor I've ever worked with. His name was Sid Conrad, but every you know, they all have their different inflections, the way they read a line. And if you can put that, you know, I can't be at every production, but if you can put that in the way you write the line.
So it's almost like you're writing music, that if people speak those words, they almost have to find the music,
right,
the rhythm.
Right.
How do you find the, because having seen a number of one-person shows, there's a danger in writing a one-person show and having it not be theater, having it be a historical lecture. How did you find the dramatic action, if you will, on Lombard? What is that thing that forces her to say those words rather than just telling us about herself?
You do have the biography. But in the case of Lombard, it's set the night before she takes the plane mm-hmm. flight. And she's worried that Gable's fooling around on her. Gable was doing a picture at that time with Lana Turner,
and so it goes.
And so she wants to get back, you know, and she's trying to get a plane flight, et cetera, et cetera. And she's mm-hmm. going to fight for him. And, you know, you have to find the person's demon. We all have a demon. And it usually goes back to their childhood. In Lombard's case, it was, you know, she left Fort Wayne when she was 8, and her parents separated mm-hmm. because evidently her father had some sort of an accident and before he married his mother, and he had problems. I don't know if they were mental problems or what have you. I don't, you know, the research I did on this was 30 years ago, so mm-hmm. I don't remember all the details. But she didn't have that father figure in her, and her first husband was William Powell.
So
who was 17 years older than her.
So there's a sense of loss, impending loss, yes. That's basically pushing the piece forward.
In Gable's case, it was his father. It was, well, once again, it's always the father, isn't it, or the mother? But pardon me. In Gable's case, it was he had a father who said, you know, that felt that being an actor was being a sissy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when he was a big, big star.
Yeah, I think we fought most of that now, but there's still some people who think that.
Yeah.
But this Lombard, I'm very excited to see it this weekend. Jessica Butler was one of the few times that the Civic actually precast something, because Jessica will be lovely as Carol Lombard with Michael Script, and we are all looking forward to seeing it. It opens tonight. Let me run down a little bit more what's going on in that festival, because it is just going to be packed full of stuff going on this weekend. Tonight is Lombard, and every show this weekend, hang around afterwards, and there will be a post-show discussion. I'm sure Michael will be there, so you could ask him questions and have a discussion there. Then basically tomorrow, there's workshops all day. Doug Post from Chicago's in to have a workshop. They read the third place play at noon. They read the second place play at 4. The first place play takes a full stage at 8 o'clock. So, and then we have a Michael's workshop on Sunday at noon with a production of Lombard. And then it runs one more weekend. Both the first place play, which is The Wedding Gift, and Michael's wonderful one-person show, Lombard.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Special thanks to Tom Hofrichter for being with us once again. And thanks to you, Michael Druxman.
Thank you.
This was a wonderful, wonderful program. I'm Sean Beter for Julia Meek. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOY Fort Wayne, and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air is up next.